Welcome to the Nativist Podcast, where we tap into our instinct and natural power to live intuitively. The ultimate goal is to leave the world healthier and more beautiful than we found it. It all starts on the individual level by cultivating our mind-body connection. Whether you're on a healing journey or just want to look and feel your best, I hope by the end you feel a little happier, a little more inspired, and a little more invested in yourself and the world. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. Thank you. Hello, I am thrilled you're here. Guess what is not here? My voice. We'll see if I can make it the whole episode. Cross your fingers. Today's topic is apologizing. We are going to talk about all things apologies, and some of what I say might surprise you. We'll see. I feel like I have a different opinion on apologizing than most. And even just digging around and looking at some of the research and some of the guidance that's out there on apologizing and things I've gleaned in the past on what a proper apology consists of, I know I differ and I diverge in some ways on what I think a proper apology should be. So we'll see if you agree with me. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your take on it. But I have my thoughts. Everybody has their own. Everybody has their own perspectives and opinion. But we'll see. We'll see what you think about mine. So I do want to start by outlining the whole idea of an apology. From what I'm thinking, the idea is to connect, not merely to assign blame. It's not necessarily to accuse or to establish unequivocally, you were wrong, I was right, or vice versa. That just seems so combative and confrontational and unhelpful, to me at least, right? And we're also going to talk about codependency. Shocking. I feel like that underlies a lot of what we talk about and a lot of our culture and society. And chronic apologizing. For you, specifically, do you feel like you are a chronic apologizer? Do you feel like you apologize out of force of habit? It feels like it just comes so readily off the lips, especially, not to genderify this, but especially I think with females too. I just have noticed. I notice at work, I notice in my personal life. So many people say sorry so readily, even if there's nothing for them to be sorry for. They'll just be standing there. I'll just be at the store and there's something outside of their control and they'll apologize or they'll open the door and it's just silly things that there's absolutely nothing for them to apologize for and they'll apologize. And I found myself doing that a lot too. I've weaned myself off of that and I've really been intentional about only apologizing when I actually have something to apologize for. And I feel like doing that really strengthens your apology for when it does come time to apologize. So reflect and think about yourself. And this is not a judgment exercise. If you feel like you apologize excessively, it is what it is. How do you feel about it? I mean, do you feel like you want to make a change? If you do, then you can proceed accordingly. If not, if you feel like there's no problem there, then you get to decide that. So I do want to talk about things that we shouldn't be apologizing for. Things we're not responsible for. So, for example, are you apologizing for being curious? Not being nosy. I mean, there is a difference, but for being curious or attentive or taking up space or just existing. And this sounds like I'm saying that in jest or I'm being facetious. No, but really, that's what it seems like. I just read a book called Come and Get It by Kylie Reed. And she is a talented author in the way she really has a knack for tapping into how the youth speak, especially millennials and Gen Z, I should say specifically Gen Z, but youth too. I mean, it's not just Gen Z and just a lot of passive aggression, a lot of codependency. They don't feel quite, they talk around what they're trying to say. They don't feel comfortable coming right out and saying it. They don't feel comfortable just being straight and addressing the issue at hand or asking for something or setting a boundary or expressing displeasure. Or I think those are tools that are imperative that we all learn, and we don't always all learn them, and it's not necessarily anything wrong with I think that there should be an infrastructure for teaching our youth that, and it starts in the home, but not everybody has the proper tools and resources for that to happen. So as adults, no matter what your upbringing was, it's our responsibility for learning how to communicate effectively. And that's essentially what this all comes down to, is communication and connection. So going back to that book, though, it made me feel so unsettled and so scattered and so anxious, because it makes me anxious when I think of when I'm in situations where you can't speak straightforwardly, straight speak, as I like to phrase it. And when you're dealing with, I'm not saying I'm always emotionally mature and I'm always have that unlock, but when you're dealing with emotionally insecure people or emotionally immature people, and you're not able to just have the conversation that needs to be had, and there's a lot of talking around it, and or they're being passive aggressive, and or they're being codependent, and you know they're not just coming right out and saying what they mean. They're not saying what they mean and meaning what they say. And for me, I think it makes me feel anxious, because then I feel that's an added burden. Then I have to take that on. And then I have to try to regulate the situation, regulate the emotions, and try to navigate it and steer that ship straight, if that makes sense. And it just feels like extra work with an unguaranteed outcome, and often not a favorable outcome. And I know you can dig into favorable to whom. Anyways, see, I go off on tangents, but coming back to what we shouldn't be apologizing for and showing genuine emotion, I think that's another thing we shouldn't apologize for. If you're crying, why are you apologizing? Why are you apologizing for being a human? Think about that. And then again, things out of your control. And I think this comes down to respecting people and respecting their capability and not coddling them and owning your side of the street and then letting other people handle theirs. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later to come. But really, you are responsible for you. You're not responsible for other people. And we don't necessarily owe each other validation, truly. We need to learn to draw from within to validate ourselves and to be honest with ourselves and self-reflect so we can be self-aware. And, you know, I wouldn't be a Nativist podcast episode without referencing The Coddling of the American Mind by Jonathan Haidt. And I love that book. And as we talk about a world where trauma and triggers and offensiveness have become cheapened and overused and diluted, we, at least I'm hoping to, we're reclaiming our strength, our authenticity and integrity of meaning and thought. So let's talk about some uncomfortable truths, possibly uncomfortable truths. Number one, disagreement is not gaslighting. We will inevitably disagree, and just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean that they're invalidating your experience, your perspective, your knowledge, your capability, any of that, your education. And just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean they're ignorant or uneducated. We all have different perspectives. Number two, conflict is not abuse and it's not to be avoided at all costs. It can actually be valuable. It's virtually unavoidable. We're complex humans with varying perspectives. And in Jay Shetty's book, I think it's like The Seven Signs of Love or Ways of Love, something, he talks about how conflict is healthy for a relationship. And you know how you'll hear of couples who brag they never fight? Well, often, I won't say generally universally, but usually that is a sign they're avoiding hard conversations. And you have those rare unicorns who just are simpatico the whole way through and they just vibe. But at some point, there will be a disagreement, and there should. You're two humans. It's inevitable. Okay, moving on. We may not get the apology we deserve, and that's really hard to swallow. We can't control that. We can only control our acceptance of the matter, and acceptance liberates us. Resentment poisons and erodes us. Like they say, the hatred or the resentment or whatever, revenge, I think it's hatred, is poison you swallow, hoping the other person will get sick, but you're the one who's ingesting it and getting sick. And it may be a process, and sometimes anger is often part of the healing process. So don't bully yourself out of anger. Let yourself feel the feelings and know it's a process, and the healing process can be nonlinear, but we may not get the apology we deserve. And that, it sucks, but it's the truth. And when we can accept that, life starts. And next, it may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility. So whatever hand you were dealt in life may not be your fault. And it often doesn't feel fair or just, but it is your responsibility for what you do with what you were dealt. Okay, next. Sometimes you are the toxic one. Oh, that sucks. That sucks to hear, but it's true. Next, discomfort and disagreement are not harmful. Like I said, they're actually necessary and beneficial for us to be competent, resilient, mature, compassionate, and sincere adults. Think about that. I'll read those adjectives again. We need disagreement and discomfort for us to be competent, resilient, mature, compassionate, sincere adults. Like Brené Brown says, we need boundaries to be compassionate. Sometimes boundaries conflicts with others' boundaries. And sometimes we need to love from afar. And sometimes we have to have those hard conversations. And that's how we exercise true love, is having those hard conversations where we prioritize the other person's welfare or the relationship's welfare. No, the other person's welfare over our personal comfort. And even, yeah, the relationship's welfare over our present comfort. It is what it is. A dose of reality can be far more healing than validation. Oof. A dose of reality can be far more healing than validation. That's when we get feedback from others. And feedback can be tricky because one person's feedback doesn't necessarily mean you need to make a change, though you should consider it and stay open to it. But sometimes people, we're all filtering the world and our reality through our own filters. So just because someone tells you something or gives you feedback doesn't necessarily mean you need to make a change, but maybe ask another person who knows you and whom you trust, hey, what do you think about this? Not in a, can you believe what this person told me? But really, honestly, I need honest feedback and trust for that person to give you honest feedback. This is why honesty matters. But if enough people are telling you something, then often you need to make a change. And it's quality and quantity of feedback too. So just because one person has given you feedback, maybe it's someone who really knows you well and or whom you can really trust. So think about that. Something to take into consideration. Okay, this one is huge. Your emotions are your responsibility. Let me say that again. Your emotions are your responsibility. Be curious about them. Try not to judge or condemn or repress or excuse or shame them. Accept them. Figure out what they're telling you and manage them. That's on you. That's on me. I am responsible for managing my emotions. That's my job. That's your job. It's no one else's. Everyone has a different perspective, a different experience, a different interpretation of reality, a different composite of ideas, wounds, strengths, weaknesses, mistakes, shame, guilt, egos, personalities, biology, psychology, hormones, environments, educations, imbalances, all of it. Think of how impossibly complex we all are. It's a wonder we get along at all. It really is. And also, we're also wired for connection. So see, complex. We are ultimately responsible for our interpretations of others. We shouldn't hold someone responsible for our misinterpretation of their words or actions. We likely wouldn't like to be held responsible for others' misinterpretation of us, right? Especially if they don't have all the facts or the details and they're just jumping to conclusions. Or even if it's a valid logical conclusion they reach, maybe it's not accurate. And so we just need to keep in mind we may not have the full story. And even if we do have the full story, we may be misinterpreting it. So we need to be open to the idea. Reality is subjective and we may be misinterpreting. So what are other interpretations we can consider? Gosh, if that is one of the universal practices I wish everyone would implement, and what a different world it would be if we just accepted and knew that there are varying interpretations among us, and just to understand that. And staying open to intent, other people's intent, and other interpretations and perspectives. And if we could just communicate, try not to assume. If we could just try defaulting to the benefit of the doubt, unless repetition and patterns, etc., show us otherwise. And even still, try asking before concluding or condemning. Again, we are ultimately responsible for our interpretations. I guess I've said that 1,000 times, but you can feel the passion. I really mean it. And so let's say that you did mess up and you do need to apologize. So what constitutes a good apology? Here are six steps. Number one, this is crucial. Listen, how does the other person feel? I think the key here is connecting with the other person, or at least striving to. Listen to receive, not to reply. Number two, say you're sorry. Not that you regret, not that you're devastated, say you're sorry. Three, say what it is you are apologizing for. Be specific. Number four, show you understand why it was bad, take ownership, and show you understand why you caused hurt. Five, don't make excuses. But here is where I slightly diverge. So I agree with not making excuses in a way, but also, I don't think you should cop out and say, well, it wasn't my fault, or da-da-da-da, or did it because of X. But I do think it can be helpful to explain your intention and other contributing factors. Provide the context. I think intent does matter. I think impact is more important than intent, but I do think intention matters. Context matters. And the idea here is to connect again, not merely to assign blame. It's not just a, yes, I'm right, you're wrong, but to explain so we can understand each other, hopefully so we can avoid a repeat performance, a repeat of this situation. And that comes to understanding and connecting. What we're trying for here is to connect, not to rule in a court of law and assign someone the victim and assign someone the hero, right? Hopefully. Okay. Six, and I guess there are seven. So number six, say it won't happen again and outline steps you're taking to ensure it doesn't happen again. But really, if you say it won't happen again, say that in good faith. Mean it when you say it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. And number seven, if it's relevant, make reparations. So for example, I'm going to pay for the dry cleaning. Just send the bill to me. I'm going to do my best to fix what I did. And try to avoid the words obviously, the word if, and the word but. So here are some other things to avoid. Actually, I want to go back to number seven. If it's relevant, make reparations. It doesn't matter if it's years later. A reparation can be so healing. And think about you. Think about an apology you feel you were due and you didn't get, but you got it years later. Does it matter to you if it was years later? Ideally, it would have been immediate. Ideally. But still, it can still be very meaningful and beneficial and healing even years later, especially with parents. I know Dr. Becky Kennedy, the child whisperer, advises that too. She tells parents all the time. And I know myself personally, if I had felt wronged or hurt by someone, by a parent, and they reached out, and I remember I experienced this. My mom apologized, my parents apologized for something years later, and it meant everything to me. It didn't matter that I was mid-30s when I got it. It mattered. So, and with parents, with kids, with friends, with partners, with anyone. So it doesn't mean that it's too late, and make amends. I mean, that's what, especially if you're in the 10-step process for AA. I don't know if it's 12-step. It's one of the steps. It's important. Okay, so again, back to what we should try to avoid. Here are the words we should try to avoid. Obviously, if and but. Qualifiers like that kind of negate whatever you just said. Getting defensive. Oof. Even if your words say one thing, your energy is communicating something else, whether you're aware of it or not. And this can often be manipulated. Like, well, I'm saying all the right things. You can't refute that. So there's nothing to hold me to because I'm saying the right things. But I don't know. We've likely all been in that situation where the person is saying, and we've probably even done it ourselves, we're saying the right things. So it's like nothing they can cling to point back to us. But our tone or our body language is saying something completely different. So tone matters and body language matters, even if your words are impeccable and quote unquote right. Okay. We should avoid getting long-winded or distracted. We should keep it short and succinct. We should stay focused. We should try not to reference the other's mistakes in order to make a case for ourselves. So occasionally this can help if you're doing a deep dive on a long brewing issue. But still, if you do, ensure bringing up the other's past mistakes doesn't mean that you're doing it to try to make a point against them. ensure you're taking responsibility for your part and you're trying to avoid being accusatory. Again, tone and body language matter. And communicate. Explain why you're dredging up the past. Explain it's just to try to inform the current situation and do so respectfully. Again, tone and body language matter. And no, please, no passive aggression or indirection. Be straightforward and say what you mean and mean what you say. No veiled digs or sarcasm. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And vulnerability, that goes a long, long way. And like I said, it's never too late to make these apologies. Apologies are a chance to learn from our mistakes and to identify possible boundaries and to negotiate or renegotiate rules of engagement moving forward. So don't rule out the written word either. Maybe you or the other person best express yourselves in writing. Try to accommodate the various communication styles. Maybe even adopt like a hybrid approach where you write and they verbally respond or vice versa. I like writing. Writing allows you both to stop, collect your thoughts, and avoid interrupting. And this is something else to avoid interrupting. Take notes if you feel like you'll forget your thoughts, but try not to interrupt. Again, we're trying to listen and connect. Even go in another room if that helps too, or send voice memos to each other as you resolve it and work through it. Whatever helps you make space for each other. And take deep breaths and commit to connecting. And let's remember, it's not transactional. When we're apologizing, we're not entitled to forgiveness. We're not entitled to them saying, oh, it's okay. They don't have to say that. And if they don't say that, I know sometimes it can feel angering or it can feel upsetting or hurtful, but they don't have to. It's not a transaction. You say this, then they say that. If you say this, then they say that. No, your point is to deliver an apology, to try to right a wrong. Ooh, that can be uncomfortable and an uncomfortable truth, but it's true. And so only apologize if you keep your reasons pure and only apologize if you're sincere. So what if you don't feel apologetic? And this is where I have a hot take. What if you're not sorry or you don't feel sorry for what they said you said or did? But what if you still care about the person and or the relationship, whether it be a personal or professional? Then let's talk. This is where it might get a little dicey, but let's talk. So I have been in this situation, especially with someone, a relationship I had, someone I dated. So here's my hot take. Is the other person owning their perception and their emotional baggage? We all have emotional baggage. We all have our own filters. We all have our own biases. Is that person outsourcing their emotional regulation onto you? Are they getting constantly offended or constantly hurt or jealous or whatever and expecting you to fix that, expecting you to make them feel better? And this is tricky and it's an art. I don't think there are hard and fast universal rules that outline this because it's so case dependent. But I have been in situations where objectively, I don't think, and I know a lot of people may not feel like they did anything wrong, but it was clear. I'm saying this owning, this is my interpretation of events, and they might have a very different interpretation, but as someone who really takes himself seriously and usually errs on the other side where I'll take on all of the blame, it became apparent, and I had some loved ones point this out too, that I was taking on the blame. And it became pretty clear to me too, in retrospect, that this person was expecting me to regulate their emotions. So there was a childhood wound that was being activated, and through words I said or did unintentionally, completely unrelated, it was activating those wounds. And then this person expected an apology, and I didn't necessarily feel I'd done anything. I cared about the person and I cared about the responses. So let's talk about that. What if you don't think you did anything wrong, or you don't think you need to apologize, yet you still care about their feelings and you want to resolve the issue? So here's what you can do. Empathize. Acknowledge and validate their emotions. Again, they're not entitled to your validation. We're not entitled to validating each other's emotions. And even emotions are just emotions. They're not necessarily valid or invalid. They are. They're signals to us. But they are real and they're coming from somewhere. So we're trying to figure out where they're coming from. And important, this doesn't mean, if you're empathizing, it doesn't mean you're shouldering the full responsibility. And just because a wound or insecurity of theirs was activated doesn't mean it's your fault. We often usually can't control our immediate reactions, though through effort and therapy and self-reflection and self-awareness and self-work, we can heal those wounds and triggers and or activators to try to prevent those dramatic activations. But we are all responsible for our responses and what we do with our reactions and emotions. But if, again, we're back to trying to work through this with the other person, we can empathize and try to understand where they're coming from. This is where listening can come in too, to understand how they're feeling. And being valid does not absolve us of responsibility for our emotions. Again, feelings are frequently irrational, right? And emotions rarely reflect reality. But here is what you can say. Tell them, there is a reason you're feeling this way. Let's talk about it. Or, I care about you and I care how you're feeling about this. Are you willing to talk it through it with me? I'd like to connect with you on this. And as you're talking through it, try not to lose yourself in their perspective also. Try to honor and respect your perspective and their perspective. And what we're trying to do is reconcile both of them, because both are quote unquote valid, but you both deserve to be heard through this, and try to connect and explain your part of it and listen to their part of it though too, so you can try to bridge that gap. And this also applies to professional relationships as well. And this is where you can say, whether it's with a client or with a colleague, you can explain, I care about our relationship and I would like to preserve it and I would like to work through this with you, and explain that. And sometimes you have to go your separate ways at the end, and it is what it is. Sometimes it's beyond resolution and or anything that would make sense for you to continue at this point in time, and maybe that's what's going to happen. But try to at least connect, and so you're at least on good terms, and try to dissolve any resentment. Bottom line, let them know you care. Let them know they matter, that they're worth seeing and hearing. And it's remarkable what a trailblazer that simple fact can be, how many guards it can lower, walls it can demolish, barriers it can bust, moods it can soften, fires it can extinguish, and bridges it can build. If we could all feel seen and heard, what a different world it would be. So simple, yet we humans really have a way of muddying that up, right? So let's let our fears and insecurities, we let our fears and insecurities hijack and call the shots, but let's let our honesty and our humanity shine through so we can connect with each other. Again, the idea is to connect, not merely to assign blame. And so we're going to mess up. Everybody is going to mess up. It's what we do with that. It's what we do with what has happened. We're not defined by our mistakes, and we shouldn't be. And if someone defines you by your mistakes, boundaries. Boundaries. Because you are worth redemption and you're worthy. And no matter how badly you messed up, you're worth another shot. And it might be a long, tough road to get there, especially if you repeatedly messed up. But it's doable, and we have to be patient. And we have to understand we may have to really work hard to earn trust again. It may not be immediate, but depending on how badly we messed up, we deserve love throughout that process though too. And it's what we do with what has happened and what we've done, what we're doing now about it, that's what matters most. So high five to you for listening to this, for caring enough to try to be your highest self and try to relate well with others and do what you can to own your side of the street. And that's all we can do. And I love you.